And welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our impacts upon it. And now we are welcoming Lindsay McIntyre, an Inuk artist and filmmaker who works primarily with analog film and has a film in the 2026 Sundance Film Festival, Tuktuit, or Caribou. Lindsay, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we've been chatting a little bit, and it sounds like you have been a filmmaker for a while, and this has been a medium that you have expressed yourself through for quite some time, but it is actually your first Sundance Film Festival, but you come to it through the labs. So can you tell me how you got introduced to Sundance and the labs?
Yeah, I applied to be a fellow in the Indigenous Institute, the Sundance Native Lab, and last year I was able to attend Sundance as a writer working on a feature film that is still in development. It's a family story, and I am still planning on making that film. But in the meantime, I've made a series of other shorts, and this one is quite different than what I was working on at the lab last year. Tuktuit is it's an experimental documentary. It's 15 minutes long, and I'm really excited to be sharing it with Park City audiences this year.
Yeah, so let's go back just a little bit and discuss how you took this path into filmmaking and artistry and the way that you express yourself. Were you always creative and curious as a child? Is this something that you grew into it? Or was your family in some way involved in placing you on this path? Tell me about what led you in this direction as a filmmaker.
I started making films in about 1999 when I found a piece of film on the street when I was in New York. And I was playing a game with a friend of mine called the Up and Down Game, where we would pick up garbage on the streets of New York and we'd bring it home and make things out of it. And one day I found this sort of pile of 16 millimeter film. It wasn't on a reel, it was just like a jumble, like spaghetti, black and white film. And I didn't know what it was, but I brought it home and I started to play with it and do things with it. And more often than not, we were making collages, but sometimes you'd get things and you could make sort of sculptures and other kinds of artworks out of it. And in my experimenting, I stuck a piece of tape on the film. And when I lifted the piece of tape up, the image came with it, but the tape was still sticky, and I could replace that piece of tape on another piece of film. So in my mind, I had just double exposed the film, and that's not at all what I had done, but it had like juxtaposed these two images in a really interesting way, and I was sort of hooked on what I could and couldn't do with this physical medium. So it's like 16 millimeters wide, and it has so many sprockets, and there's only so much you can do with it, and only so much that you can kind of push its boundaries before it doesn't, you know, function anymore. It doesn't play in a projector. And so that was sort of my beginning of the experiments that I did with film. So I really came to film as a material practice, not so much as a person who, you know, I wanted to tell a story or to just generally tell stories, or that I wanted specifically to be a writer or a director or anything like that. I came to it as a material practice. And so a lot of my early films were sort of experiments in that kind of cinema, what you might call handcrafted cinema. And those things are still, much of that is still true today.
Right. And that plays a very large role in your film. It's really fascinating how you came to this through a more tactile way. And filmmaking tends to be very visual, or there's audio that pulls you, but it sounds like you have come to this artistry and filmmaking in a very tactile way. And that plays a big role in how you brought forth this film. Can you give us a description or synopsis of this film, Tuktuit, and how it came to be?
Yeah, so Tuktuit is an experimental documentary that's created with handmade and manufactured emulsions that explores the close and enduring interconnections between Inuit, caribou, and lichens in the face of habitat destruction and sort of thinking through land use. So the film is, the color film is processed with developers that are made out of lichens. And the black and white sections of the film are made out of A handmade emulsion, like a silver gelatin emulsion recipe that I make myself. But the gelatin in the handmade emulsion recipe is made out of caribou hide that I process myself as well. So I'm actually taking the sort of, the film is sort of about caribou, but it also contains the DNA of a caribou. And so it's one of the things that I really like to do is to have there be a relationship between the form and the content of the things that I'm working on. And it was filmed primarily on the land in Nunavut, where caribou are often struggling to maintain their lifeways amidst burn events and other forms of habitat disruption and changing conditions.
Yeah, walk us through the landscape first of where this film is based.
So a lot of it is filmed outside of the place of my maternal heritage. So it's called Kamanituak or Baker Lake. It's the only inland settlement in the north. All the others are on an ocean somewhere. So there's a very, very large lake there. But people subsisted and still do, but especially, you know, back in the time of like my grandmother, subsisted entirely on caribou. So it is tundra, and there are no trees anywhere around. There are thousands of different kinds of lichens and sedges and mosses and things. And there's a kind of a cycle of life of when certain things are available and what you can survive off of at different times. And the lichens that I was most primarily interested in are the ones that caribou subsist on almost entirely, because the way that I see it is that I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for caribou. And so it was a way of sort of honoring the caribou and honoring maybe what it took to make it possible for me to be in the world.
So we're talking about Canada here, right? And on a map, can you explain to us where we would find this?
Well, it's actually the geographical center of Canada. So if you look at Canada, but include all of Canada, all of the islands up to the north, up to the Arctic Circle, and you went to the exact center of that, that is exactly where this is. Kamanituak is the geographical center of Canada, not just east-west, but north-south, east-west.
So when you're working through this film and trying to express these things, what was it most important for you to have the viewer feel or understand? Because it is a visceral feeling that you have with this film. I called it kind of beautifully haunting because it does sit with you in a different way, and you can feel the film, not just watch it. Is that intentional? For the viewer to feel very much pulled inside of this.
I think it's inevitable in the way that I make things. It's very much an experimental documentary, so I don't set out with an idea ahead of time and say, this is what this is going to look like, or these are the words you're going to hear on screen at the same time as you are seeing these things. I'm not building a narrative structure within it. When I make films, I literally make them to process things that I'm dealing with. I'm not making them with an audience in mind or trying to understand what somebody else might take from it. I'm literally making the film, and the film makes itself in a way out of me processing things that I'm dealing with. And so I think that it's inevitably a little bit more visceral in that sense, but it's also very, very material, and you can really feel and sense the materiality of the celluloid. I think that might be part of the visceral nature you're kind of describing, is that, you know, you're aware of the sort of skin of the film, if you will. I mean, you can see me fleshing a caribou hide in the footage, but there's also the skin that is the sort of gelatin, the photochemical layer that is allowing us to see, that we sort of see through. We see these images through this skin of the film. And so there's multiple layers to it, I think.
When you say it's generally coming from something that you're processing or something internal that becomes external, what were you dealing with when you created this film? What are those emotions that you were dealing with?
I think I wanted to try to critique a little bit of the binary ways of looking at the world, where the world is there for us to take. We think about progress and advancement and building. And I think that this film and others like it that I've made are a bit of a refusal of that binary. I think it's also a way of attuning to the land. I like to think of trees as my ancestors, for example. And even when I was a little girl in kindergarten, my mom would tell me, how important the big trees were on the schoolyard, and she told me to go talk to the trees and thank them and give them a hug. And I really remember doing this, but it was it's something that's been in me for maybe my whole life, this idea that that there are reciprocal processes involved in being here on this planet. And we are often, as humans, kind of overlooking those in our, anthropocentric way of being in the world and disregarding things and literally using language to sort of like shame or disregard nature in all of its glory. And so I wanted to explore some of those things and try to think about it as a more sort of multivocal system, and think about the connections between animate and inanimate things and get to know some of the beings that are here on this planet besides us. And I think when we think about like being in nature, a lot of times we go for the big, like awe-inspiring moments that really like connect us to a thing that's happening or a recognition of the massive power of nature, for example. But we are sometimes not thinking about the little things, the what about daily interactions? What about these sort of smaller intimacies that we can encounter? Or what are the other ways that we can think, maybe like rethink about our place in the world or have some humility about our place in the world?
You talk about the relationship between caribou and lichen. What does that relationship look like? And did you delve into the science of what happens between lichen and caribou or this species that's moving about this territory?
The science that backs up, the things that are happening for caribou. Caribou populations are declining all over. They're in really, really sharp decline in some places. It's dangerous, on the verge of extinction in many cases. Barren land caribou sometimes, in the contents of their stomach are sometimes about like 95% this one particular kind of lichen. Sometimes people call it nealgnat or reindeer moss. And it's just really remarkable how the caribou have survived so many thousands of years, and have sort of subsisted on this one particular kind of lichen. And this one kind of lichen actually takes about 200 years to get up to its full nutritional value.
Oh, wow.
And if there's a burn event anywhere in the area, even nearby, caribou won't go near it for sometimes up to 70 years. And caribou don't live that long. They live maybe like 15 years. And so there's something about it that, that's no longer a food supply. And when we're thinking about, some of the herds are still in the hundreds of thousands, but not many of them. When we're thinking about this number, quantity of animals traveling together, they have the longest migration path of any land mammal on the planet. And they really, really rely on these specific things. And so that relationship is tight, and it's subsisted for so long. And then what we as humans are able to do just by, building a road or deciding to mine something or disregarding things, or also, some things that are byproducts of other things, like climate change actually does really badly affect caribou. Some people think, well, it'll be warmer, there'll be more grasses and sedges and lichens for them to access. But when we have things like freeze thaw events that, rapid freeze thaw, so you have snow that melts and then it turns to water and then it freezes again, so then it turns to ice. The caribou hooves are really soft. They can dig through snow, but they can't dig through ice. And so you'll have thousands of caribou standing on top of a lichen patch, and they can smell it, but they can't access it, and they'll starve standing in place because they can't access the lichen because of these sort of rapid freeze thaw events, which are happening more and more now than they did before. So there's a lot of different effects, not to mention all the warbles and other pests and creatures that also irritate the caribou and have them not reaching some of their grazing lands as they travel across the north.
So when you're taking in all this research and this information, and then you go into this process, how does that sit within you emotionally? Is it depleting? Does it turn you hopeful? How does it manifest itself in your body?
It's an interesting question. I think when I'm processing some of that information, it's an irritation and it's something that I want to fix and I want to try to make better in the world. And I think maybe this kind of filmmaking is a way of trying to do some good, of trying to show another way. And but the actual work itself, it's a dialogue with lichens and caribou. It's a way of coming to know them better and of trying to be in relation with them, of trying to be kin. And I think that that's a really wonderful feeling because it feels like coming home. There's a kind of a fidelity that all of the other creatures on the planet have for the earth. And it's one that we don't generally share, although there's some that do. There's lots of different indigenous communities in the world, for example, whose ways of being in the world typically place humans as learning from nature or on the same level with other beings as being, there's another term called more than human beings, which is so there's a value system built into that. The idea that we are not the most important thing here. And so I think that the actual practice of being out there with my camera on the tundra and filming the lichens, a lot of the images are super, super close-up images. And then I'm also hand processing the film with developers that I'm making with lichens that I've picked and collected. And just the idea of like physically laboring and sweating over this caribou hide and trying to, do these sorts of pseudoscientific experiments of turning it into emulsion, like all of those things bring me closer to it. And so it's a very enriching process for me. It's like coming home. And I don't know how or why we lost our faith in the earth. I mean, I know where the hierarchies changed with Christianity and maybe beginning with Aristotle, how the hierarchies changed and we started thinking of ourselves as more important than everything else. But the actual practice of doing it and how it sits in my body is a very, it's a really wonderful feeling because it feels like coming home.
Well, we talk a lot about indigenous voices here on this green earth and what it looks like to listen to the land and understand from those who are closest to it. So, your heritage and your closeness to the land, what did that bring inherently to you or to the film, do you think?
My family are caribou Inuit and are people who subsisted entirely on caribou. And so to understand from like a physical, visceral sense what it took to literally make it possible for me to be in the world was one of the things. It's also incredibly labor intensive. Like there's a lot of hours that went into making these images and to making this film and to learning these processes and these practices. And not to mention like the time filming and all the rest of it. And it's the labor that's also a way of honoring. And so I think for me, I need to be doing things with my hands. My film practice is a very material practice and it makes it real for me. When I'm not engaged in it in a material way, it's a different kind of it's a different kind of an engagement and one that I can't quite reach on the same level.
I love how you express that. So I really appreciate you coming on this green earth and your perspective about what is happening in that territory and your closeness to the land and all of your insight on that. So this film is Took to It, Caribou. It's by filmmaker Lindsay McIntyre. And Lindsay, is there a website or is there a place that people can go to learn more about you, your films, and what you have planned for the future?
There is, yeah, thanks for asking. My personal website is tinymovingpictures.com. And actually, Took to It isn't up there, but about 25 or 30 of the other films that I made are there. And so you can kind of see what other sorts of things are behind this. And then in the near future, there will be some footage and some pieces of Took to It up there as well. So that's a decent place to find some things.
Well, thank you for your originality and your creativity. And we are so glad that you came upon that reel of film all those years ago. Mm-hmm. It has been good for all of us that that happened in your life. So thank you, Lindsay McIntyre. And we look forward to seeing your film and seeing the future of your career in filmmaking.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.